Welcome to These Are Good Days with Leanne Miller
and Matt Barris.
Well, Matt, my audio is not what it usually is.
Listen, we are, this is the second year in a row. Oh, your coughs and your laugh is extra much.
Oh my God, I'm just
They're
so,
extra much.
I'm just so sorry.
You know, you are remote. You, I after am. Daryl's surgery, yes, you guys hit the road to bask in the sun. Mm-hmm. And so we're doing this remote thing. And yes, you know, what's great is we've gotten better, but we can always learn more. And we're learning more tonight.
Oh, Matt, I went to Staples. I carted in the computer. I carted in the microphone. I did all the things right. And it just
didn't work.
It just didn't work.
And, you know, so many people help you.
I know.
And I've been around you long enough where I can just imagine the scene at Staples.
Yes. Yes,
where you're
yes.
like, Todd, hey, Todd. Yes. Yes. Todd, listen exactly to me, right. Todd. Exactly I'm 57. Right. I'm 56. Todd, I'm 56. I could be your mother, Todd. You're adorable, Todd.
Yes.
Todd, do
yes.
you like bread? I will bring you a loaf of bread, Todd.
I said, Todd, I need your help.
Was his name Todd?
I don't know.
You don't really?
I said, I can't remember. I think it was Brian. I'm like, I need your help. I said, I'm doing a podcast tonight with my techie friend who knows everything techie.
Oh,
I'm not techie, but I need something with this for this microphone to stick this one end into another end that sticks Oof. Into the microphone. And he's like, I can help you. And I'm like,
oh, Todd.
Todd, thank you.
And, you know, I don't know.
It still didn't work.
I know. Well, you might be revisiting Todd. I hope Todd's working the next time you go in. And then what's really funny, I don't know if we're going to be able to extract video from this.
Okay.
But I asked you to get a more cushioned background, and yeah. now you're laying in a bed. Like on your back with your hair flipped over your head. And
listen,
I
aim to deliver. I have pillows like down by my knees. I have pillows up by my head, trying to make the sound good. So listen, stick with us. Just this once. We're going to improve this from here better. On.
Hey, tell me your good day.
Okay. Well, my good day is just simple. We're down here just really we're down here. We were planning on coming down here anyway for the month of March because we came down here last March and it was just so good for us both. And we reserved March not knowing that Daryl was going to have heart surgery.
Yeah.
And so we came down and it has been so good for him to be down here healing. And this area is way more, which you know, because you come to Hilton Head, this area is way more conducive to walking. So, so he walked almost 6 miles today.
Wow, that's great.
And I made sure that I called the doctor's office to make sure he could walk that far because it kind of worried me. I'm like, that's far.
That is
far. And they said, as long as he's feeling good, and as long as it feels good to him, he can walk that far. So
well, that's great.
My good day, though, I'll make it fast, is Joey and his new girlfriend came just for the weekend. And you know what? It wasn't that we did anything outrageous. We didn't. We went to the beach the first day and just had so much fun just hanging out at the beach. And then the second day they were here, it rained almost all day. So we sat around and read and visited and talked and laughed and it just was wonderful. It's just, That's awesome. I love when it happens that you have adult kids that want to be with you.
Well, listen, that's kind of what we're talking about today. So hold those thoughts.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hold those thoughts.
Our kids, at least they act like they do.
Well,
our kids act like they want to be with us. And it just makes me so happy.
Well, and also, you know, this could be a podcast in and of itself because you create an environment where your kids want to be with you.
I hope so.
You know, it's like my mom. Like, I love my mom. She's so easy to be around, but she also does things that make it really easy for us to say yes to.
Yeah.
Oh, you know what I mean?
For
and
sure.
So listen, you're also cultivating an environment of love and care for your kids.
Yes.
Where of course they want to be with you.
I remember recently you called me and you said you were going to your mom's for dinner, but that she had a little snack / charcuterie board when you walked in the door. And I'm like, If that doesn't say, welcome, I love you, sit down and have a rest, I don't know what does.
I know.
It's just,
it takes two.
And you know, and here's another thing, because when you come to Hilton Head, you are surrounded by beautiful homes. It does not have to be a big and beautiful home.
Sure.
It does not. That is not the requirement for making someone feel at home and making them feel welcome and cozy. It isn't a requirement. So don't tell yourself, I will start making my environment welcoming and cozy and loving when I get a bigger house, because that's not what makes your environment.
Nope.
You can have a cozy house little and you can have a cozy house big.
So true.
You can do both.
Hey, my good day is, you know, I talk about my family a lot, but these good days are about friends. And I just need to shout out two people that just filled my cup in the last week.
Okay.
The first one is one of our friends, Sarah Reith. You know, I love her wisdom. I love her insight. She builds me up. We had a wonderful lunch. And honestly, it's like she is one of those friends where you can spend an hour of intense. What I love about friends like this is when you can jump into intense conversation for like an hour, because she's a busy person, I'm a busy person. Jump into an intense conversation for like an hour, get it done, and you both walk away feeling like your cup is full. And she's one of those friends for me where, you know, our lives are so busy that we're not like texting friends every day. We're like Instagram meme friends.
Yes.
But then when we do get together, it's like you can just pick up and go right where you left off.
Right.
And then my other one is, do you remember months ago when I went to the brewery and the guy said, come over and talk to my.
Yes. Yes.
Come and talk to my wife. I hung out with Sean. He messaged me on Facebook and was like, hey, I'd love to hang out with you and talk. And so we went and hung out. And, you know, it's so cool to be, I would consider myself a very proactive relational person.
Yes, I would too.
And so to be on the receiving end of it, where someone's like, I want to get together with you and I want to get to know you and I want to ask you questions, was so filling. And his wife is like a loyal podcaster and they just had a baby. Aww. And so shout out to new baby Lolly.
That's her name?
Well, that's their last name.
Oh, I was going to say, I love the name Lolly.
That's their last name. And we just had a great time together. And so it was fun getting to know someone new. We talked a lot about faith and fatherhood. And those are all the only F words I think we talked about. That sounds weird. With faith and fatherhood and friendship and families.
Yes.
All the things.
Yes. All the good effort.
And so it was just cool. It was cool to be on the receiving end of somebody reaching out to me and saying, hey, I'd love to get to know you better.
Yes.
You know, we talk about that all the time. Like, just send the text, write the email, pursue people that you're like, I like to get to know them better, or I'm curious about them. And so it was fun. So thanks, Sean, for hanging out. And
that's so awesome.
Do it again. Yeah. So that was my good day.
Listen, I want to tell you, your audio is going to sound great because you have a microphone that's fancy.
Well, Ian, I am in the studio.
I know.
You're like the remote person.
That's in true. This one. Pretty. One day you're going to be remote, though, because you're getting ready to go on spring break soon.
That's true. That's true.
With the kids, which is what we're talking about. Parent, kids,
This is what we're talking about. This came from something my friend Grant shared recently that I screenshotted because I thought it was so good. This is from a guy I think you follow him too. His name is John Deloney. John Deloney. I love following him. So he's part of, I think he's part of like Dave Ramsey's podcast network, but I like him because he's like life coachy.
Yes. I know who it is.
Gives really good advice, has people call in. And so this came from our friend Grant shared this, and it kind of spurred the thought of what I want to talk about today. And here's what it says. If you want your kids to grow up to be mature, self-regulated adults, you have to show them how. I'm going to cry.
Yeah.
Model calm, model self-control, and model what it looks like to be an adult. Your kids are watching and absorbing everything you do.
So act true.
Like the adult that you want them to become. I love that has stuck with me. Act like the adult that you want them to become.
That's so good, man.
And it just spurred that thought in me of like, this is funny. I wrote down some stories about what this looks like for us. And here's my first one. My kids, a couple years ago, really wanted to watch the movie Home Alone. I wasn't allowed to watch Home Alone when I was a kid because there's a lot of language in Home Alone. So
I don't remember. I didn't remember that.
There's language, and there's also just this sarcastic mean. Like, I think the mom actually says, like, you wish we were dead. What if you woke up and we all were dead? How would you like that? Yeah, like stuff like that. Like, yeah, I'm like, I don't like that.
Yeah. We don't talk like that in my family.
So what's so funny is if my kids were here right now, I would say to them, hey, we can watch Home Alone, but what does dad say every time we watch Home Alone? And Luca, my oldest, for sure would hit the nail on the head, and he would say, we don't talk to each other like that in this family. And I've been thinking of this because of that movie. And then recently Luca wanted to watch, I don't know what piqued his interest, but he wanted to watch Back to the Future. And if you were in my generation where you grew up with 80s and 90s films, and you go back, some of them have not aged well. Some of the language that was in a PG movie, I was like, really? We were allowed to watch that? So fast forward, I watched Back to the Future with him, and there are some surprising language choices in Back to the Future. There's some surprising things that I was like, huh. There's even like a racial slur that I wasn't really prepared for that he probably doesn't know, that I truthfully don't know. So anyway, I think the fear that I tell myself with some of those things is that if he sees that, he's going to start doing that.
Yes.
But then reality kicks in for me and I go, well, wait a second. That's just a movie.
Yeah.
He's in our family every day and our family doesn't talk to each other like that. We don't talk to other people like that.
Right.
And he has hours, thousands and thousands of hours modeled to him of how we want him to behave based on the way that I talk to my wife, the way that I treat my mom, the way that I talk to my kids, and all of those other things. And I think I kind of checked myself and went, wait, you know, he's 11, so he's going to get exposed to way more things than I really will ever want him to. But then I had to tell myself, you know, just because he hears a curse word doesn't mean he's all of the sudden going to start cursing.
Right. Well, and the reality is, Matt, you're also guiding that when you're watching it together. Your kids don't have like unsupervised control of Hulu and Netflix and YouTube where they're watching whatever they want.
Right.
You're there and you're saying like, hey, we'll watch this, but I want to point out some things that I don't like. I don't like the way they're talking. I don't like the way they're treating each other. This reminds me of our kids. There were several things they weren't allowed to watch growing up. And one of them was The Simpsons because they talk naughty, but you know, a lot, this one surprises people when I tell people this, they were not allowed to watch SpongeBob SquarePants.
Neither was I.
Listen, can I just tell you something that's going to be awkward for about 5 seconds after I say it? SpongeBob SquarePants lives in Bikini Bottom. Think about that for a minute. I don't like it. Yeah. I don't like the innuendo. I don't like SpongeBob living in Bikini Bottom. Disgusting. Yeah. Like maybe if that's an adult cartoon, you can say that, but I don't like that. I don't like what it infers. I just,
yeah.
I just was very careful with what our kids watched, but mm-hmm. I'm like you, there were things that we watched with them that we were like, all right, but we don't, that's not how we're going to talk
right.
here.
Right. Well, and I think, you know, you hear the phrase more as caught than taught. And I think that's so true. You know, I so believe that, because the reality is your kids could watch a show, but they're not going to necessarily model their behavior right. off of watching a show one time.
Right.
If they right. do it for hours and hours and hours, sure. But really what they're really picking up, their behavior, the way that they talk to people, the way that they treat, is what you're modeling in your home.
Do you remember Joey and Deez Nuts?
Oh my gosh, yes.
Do you remember that?
That was, but see, that's a great example, because right. he went through that middle school boy phase. I don't even want to say it anymore. That's a great example, because he went through that middle school boy mm-hmm. phase of saying that, the DN thing, and it stopped.
Oh,
because well, the reality is you and Daryl did not feed the monster.
No, we were talking about this past weekend when he was here, and I said, oh, the D's nuts phase, just, it was just so exhausting. And he goes, well, he's like, finally, the teacher that did it for him is a teacher he really, really liked, that was also the drama teacher or the drama director. And she said, Joey, she was also the English teacher. She said, if you say that again, I'm going to give you a detention. And yeah. she was being like firm, but also kind of like, if you do that again. And he looked at her and he grinned real big and said, D's nuts. And she goes, and now you have a detention.
Good
and
for her.
She gave him a detention. And then all of a sudden he just stopped doing it, because he's like, sure. why am I saying this so much? It's getting me in trouble. It was getting him in trouble at home. But he just wanted to say it over and over. And now we look back at that and kind of laugh, but we didn't allow it sure. to just in our house. Like, right. but boy, did he love to say it at school.
Well, and I think those things like coarse joking is so easy when they're like, it's such mm-hmm. an easy way to, I think mm-hmm. it's a cheap, here's what I'll say.
It's a cheap laugh.
A cheap way to connect with your kids.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, it's a cheap way. Because I think there are so many other things we can be doing with our time and with our language, with the way that we interact with our kids. And I get it. I have middle school boy humor. And with some of the guys that are my like friends, of course we have moments where we make those types of jokes that are just dumb. But that's not the bulk of what our friendship. You know what I mean? And so I think that's, as a parent, I think you're setting the groundwork and modeling what that looks like. You know, for us, our son, Luca, and I think this is something that we can explore together, is our son, Luca, is 11. So he's in fifth grade, headed into middle school next year. And we are watching things in him come out. So like he, you know, yeah. I feel like with my 7-year-old and my almost 5-year-old, or 8-year-old and almost 5-year-old, we're still kind of like laying the foundation a little bit, where they're kind of soaking it all in, kind of watching, kind of testing the waters. But I've noticed a shift in my fifth grader, where I'm seeing him, it's really hard to describe, but he's kind of starting to forge his own path here at the tail end mm-hmm, of fifth grade. Mm-hmm. And what's really, really cool is he has, you know, I work in the district where my kids go to school. And so I have relationships with all of his teachers. What's really, really so awesome is there are so many eyes on him, and there are people telling me things that he's doing that are great. For example, there's a student that he is, that student with disabilities, that he is very well aware of. They play in the band together. They play the same instrument. He notices him when they do like large group things, and mm-hmm. he seeks him out to befriend him. That kind of stuff. Like, I'm not standing there with him in fifth grade, like, Hey Luca, right. go over right. to that boy. Right. Remember, right. somebody needs to look out for him, Luca, and it's right. going to be you. You know, and so seeing that part of him flourish, it's because he has a mom that sees people and that fights for justice for people with disabilities.
Right. Right.
It's because in our family, we are aware of people and we are looking out for people that might need some attention.
Or 1,000%. You
know, and so I feel like I'm on the side of watching him evolve into this wonderful, empathetic, caring human. And it's kind of magic to watch it unfold.
For sure. When we took Teddy to his freshman orientation, I walked around with a lump in my throat the entire time because I was seeing him engage and act and talk to people the way that we have patterned for him.
Right.
I mean, and Daryl doesn't necessarily say a ton of, he doesn't say a ton of words, but you're going to feel welcome in our home when you come.
Right.
You're going to feel like there's this solid, steady presence there. Actually, we did, when we just went out to eat this past weekend, we had a friend say to Joey that he said, you know, I've been around your dad and I've been around you. And I think being raised by your dad, who doesn't say a ton, but what he does is he's just this steady, he's just strong, steady presence that doesn't get wound up, doesn't get angry, doesn't lose his temper. And Joey spoke up and said, actually, I don't actually think I've ever heard my dad yell.
Yeah.
I don't think I've heard my dad yell at any of us.
Right.
And I think that's something that's carried on over to the boys.
Yeah, totally. And that's one of those things you can't teach. You know, you can't teach
that. It's patterned. It's just patterned in front of you.
I was writing some things down today, and one of the other things that I wrote is modeling emotional regulation for your kids. You know, I think we can minimize, or I don't know if we fully acknowledge how our kids watch how we respond to different situations.
Oh gosh,
you know,
so true.
Literally tonight, my wife. We had tacos for dinner. Literally was all the, it's like the witching hour from like 3:30 to 4:30 or 5 o'clock, because it's like homework. Kids want to do something. Kids want to eat something. Dinner's trying to get on the table. It's all the things. And Mallory was very full to the brim. Like, it was bubbling. And she literally said to our kids, "You are not listening to me, and I am going to raise my voice next to get your attention." And they kind of got the message.
Yeah.
And I think in those moments, we can minimize how talking through our emotions, or, you know, we will tell our kids when they're all talking or coming at us, like, "Can I have this? Can I do?" We will say, "This feels really overwhelming, and I need everyone to stop for a second."
Yes. Yes. It's so good.
Giving words to our emotions is so helpful because it transfers language to our kids. Recently, Fitz said, I don't remember what it was about, but it was something small. I don't remember. It might have been like he didn't get something he wanted, or I don't remember. But he said something like, "Dad, I am not sad. I am just a little disappointed." And I love that he's able to distinguish between what is true sadness and what is just disappointment, you know? And so I think when we model our emotions for our kids, what that also looks like talking to your spouse in front of your kids. What does that look like? You know, when you're listen, I don't care how long you've been married. When you're sharing space with someone, it can get tense, and you can be like, "Hey, I need a little space," or whatever. I think modeling the way you talk to your spouse, the way you love your spouse, the way you touch your spouse, the way you give attention to your spouse, I think all of that transfers to them too.
Yes. And listen, Matt, this is true for, this isn't, you don't have to be a parent. This is true in your friend. This is true in your friendships. This is true in how you talk through something difficult with your friends. Are you going to wind your friend up, or are you going to say, "Okay, let's talk about this.
Yeah.
Let's talk about how you're feeling. Let's identify how you're feeling. What do you need from me to help make this better?" Instead of la 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 la, and then it just, and then it snowballs and snowballs, and then you get off the phone and you're like, "Oh, instead of feeling better, I feel like now I feel more wound up. Now I actually feel more mad."
Sure.
You know, it's not just our kids. It's also it's also the people around us. Like,
sure.
how do we behave in such a way? Like, are we the calmest person in the room?
Right.
You know, are we the person that's going to just like help level things off? Are we the person that people say, I want to call this person because they'll help talk me off the ledge mm-hmm. in this scenario, and they'll help me not wind up or not feel crazy about it.
Sure.
Like I hope I'm the person that people feel like they can really talk to and really vent to. But then I hope after we're done venting, I want to be a friend or a parent that mm-hmm. directs you in a to a better place.
Sure.
Like let's think about how we can make this situation better.
Well, and I think part of that is in parenting too, is you want your kids to vent to you. Let it out.
Yes. Like,
this is a safe space to let it go. But listen, I'm not going to let you stay there.
Yes.
And so I think as a parent, you are modeling those things to say, hey, this is how when we feel X, Y, and Z, we do X, Y, and Z. You know, when we feel overstimulated, we turn off the TV and we read a book, or we go for a walk, or we call someone, or whatever those things are. You know, it even goes down to something my parents modeled for me that I'm so thankful for, is my parents were not call the teacher parents. My parents were coach me how to talk to the teacher.
Right.
So if I had something happen at school, my parents were like, hey, well, you need to talk to them. You need to go to them. And this is how you need to say it. This is how it would sound respectful. This is how you can handle the conflict. And then we'll see from there. And my parents, after learning that with them, my parents never called the teacher because they coached me on how to figure it out.
Right.
And I think that serves me in adulthood as well, to say, I'm going to the person that I need to talk to, and we're going to talk it through.
Right. I think it's more acceptable now. And I think it's more, especially since counseling has become more of an acceptable, approachable topic.
Sure.
I was just saying this to Joey this past weekend. The way that our family communicates to one another has a lot to do with Daryl, but it also has a lot to do with, for 10 years of our children growing up, I was in counseling.
Right.
So
right.
I was using language when I came home from counseling. I was using language that I didn't grow up with.
Right.
So, and I think if I could encourage parents right now of kids, parents of kids that are your kids' age, like if you have kids 14 and younger, I mean, even teenagers, of course, teenagers, but like, let's even say 12 and younger. I think we have told ourselves, even teenagers, really, I'll include teenagers. Sometimes it's easy as a parent to tell yourself that you have to present to your child like you have it all together. You are the authority. You are the one making the right choice. They are to listen to you. Instead, and our boys, Teddy just said this recently, our oldest son. He said, one thing I always appreciated about you, Mom, is you would say, we are going to make mistakes. This is our first go around as a parent. This might be your first go around as a kid, but it's our first go around as parents. And we're not going to get everything right.
Right.
And so, but we're trying our best, and we're going to admit when we've made a mistake, and we're going to say when we've been wrong. And I didn't grow up like that, Matt. My parents were very big on discipline and very big on, you just didn't know when they were wrong.
Sure.
Like, it's, and
it's
you
very
never
authoritarian.
Yeah. And you never questioned.
Yeah.
Like, we allowed our kids to question. We allowed our kids to say, why do we have that rule?
My mom was the same way.
Yeah. Why do we do that? You know, why aren't we allowed to be out past 11:30? Like, why, you know, and we welcomed the questions.
Sure.
We also would say, you know what? We're going to change our mind about that. I think that we've been misinformed. So we're going to change our mind about that.
Right.
And to the kids' advantage,
right.
You know, and right. I think somehow that breaks down a wall with your children that mom and dad are being vulnerable. So I then can be vulnerable too.
100%. I love that. Here's another one that I have is, I think our kids, the way that we express gratitude goes into our children as well. So the way that we talk about the things that we're thankful for, the way that we talk about things like our home, the way that we talk about what we are, our material possessions, all of those things get passed on to our kids. It's funny. One of the tangible examples I have of this is we have gone to Disney in the summer because we're teachers and that's when we have time off. And people have said to me so often, isn't it so hot? Aren't your kids miserable? Aren't they whining all day? And I said, well, no, because we don't whine and we don't complain about it.
Yeah.
And we don't say to the kids, oh, it's so hot. I know, just, we don't, you know, placate them, or we're not like pandering to that. We kind of ignore it. And we're just like, we're going to have a great day. We're in Disney World. We're going to have fun. Do they get hot? Sure. Do we take breaks? Of course we do. We're not pushing them too hard.
Right.
But at the same time, I think we, as parents, you set the tone for how we shape our mindset about situations and how grateful we are.
It's so true. You know? Recently, we had a terrible leak at the little castle, you know about. We had a water leak, a second water leak. We had a first one, then we had a second one. All taken care of now, of course, after a big bill, but all taken care of. And I was telling Teddy about it and I was crying. I was just so, because Daryl was in the hospital.
Yeah.
It was just, and he said, Mom, think about what you have to be grateful for. He's like, thank God you were only 10 minutes away.
Yeah.
He's like, you have so much. He's like, it could have been so much worse. And he brought me back around. And when I hung up the phone, I literally laughed out loud, like a laugh cry out loud. Cause I was like, he is literally saying to me what I would be saying to him if it were him.
100%.
And it was just so, it was so funny and so like, oh my gosh, that's just hilarious, because he's saying the things that I would be saying to him.
Mm-hmm. 100%. I think what's really cool, well, I'm going to bring up one more and then I'm going to say that. Here's my last one, is I think our kids pick up on relationships from us too.
Oh, yeah.
So what I mean by that is, not only do we share the value of relationships, you know, that we make time for other people, whether it's family or friends outside of our nuclear home, but I also think the way that we spend our time with our children, the way that we talk to them, the way that we bring people into our home, or the way that we maybe ask people to go out for lunch or dinner and say, hey, we're going to spend some time with friends. And I also think the way that we interact with friends is passed on to them. And here's what I mean by that. My hope is that when my kids are adults and they have a friend whose husband has heart surgery, that they will go and sit at the hospital with them. Or that when they have friends that have a baby, that they'll send them a gift card or make them a meal. I want my kids to be those friends.
Yes.
And so they're right now, they might not be able to put it into words, but they're picking up those things from me. Conversely, if you are in friendships where you are gossiping around each other, behind each other's backs, or it's very catty,
yes,
or it's even very surfacey, or it's very just like whatever. If it's centered around drinking, I'm going to throw that one out there. If you have relationships where that's the goal, is like, hey, we just get together and party all weekend, or a very gossipy catty, or talk bad about each other, your kids are going to pick that up too.
Yes, sure they are. Of course they are.
And then when your kids become middle school and high schoolers, and they have these relationships
so
that
important.
Are falling apart.
Yes.
And you go, I don't know what's happening with all of your relationships. Well, unfortunately, maybe not always, but maybe they picked up some bad habits along the way.
Yeah, it's so true. You have to be, you know, it really is at the end of the day, my parting shot. You always have a parting shot.
Oh, I love parting shots.
My parting shot is really be the person that you want your child to mirror. Like, you Absolutely. Can't expect your child to grow up into an adult who is caring, compassionate, generous, all those things, if you are not yourself.
Absolutely.
It can happen. Can it happen? Of course it can happen. But it, I don't think that's, it doesn't happen the majority of time unless you are the parent modeling that for them.
Well, and I think my parting shot for today, to kind of piggyback off of that, is I know that there's going to come times as my kids get older where they go, I didn't love that my parents did X, Y, and Z. Mm-hmm, because the reality is we're not perfect parents.
Yes.
But here's what I know. I didn't talk about this yet, actually. Mm-hmm. We recently, our boys are starting baseball. And they were placed on teams recently. And Mallory and I were texting about the teams that they were placed on, and specifically the coaches that they got. Because we know one of them really well, and we know one of them, the wife really well. The husband is the coach, mm-hmm. but we know the wife really well. And Mallory said, what a gift from God that we have these people in our kids' lives. Because the reality is we can't be all things for our kids.
No.
You know, we are going to fail our kids.
It's true.
We are going to let them down in some way. But my hope and my prayer for my kids is that God would bring people along their path mm-hmm. to fill in the gaps for me.
Yes, that's so good.
To kind of pick up where maybe I'm not great at that, or to model something for my kids that maybe I'm not good at.
Yeah,
it's
good.
And so my hope is, and my prayer for my kids is that, you know, I'm trying to model all the things.
Yes.
But we're gonna fail our kids. That's reality. And
it
so
is.
May God bring across their paths people to fill in the gaps or give them
that's
other
true.
Perspectives.
That's so good.
So that's
true.
My parting shot.
Yeah, that's good. Let's talk about food.
Food. It's really hard to sync up remote.
Yeah, it is. It really is. Let's talk about food.
Tell me this. You're away. You're not shopping at Walnut Creek Foods right now, but I know you took some things down.
I sure did.
What are you reaching for? Listen,
they have really great buttermilk at Walnut Creek Cheese. Do I drink buttermilk? No, I don't.
Does anyone?
Probably really, really older people do.
Really? Okay.
But Walnut Creek Cheese has some buttermilk that has like little butter flecks in it. And I soak my chicken in it. So I'm going to do some thighs with the bone in and some drumsticks. And I'm going to soak them in buttermilk and then bread them in it's either Irma or Emma Yoder's. Irma Yoder's breading mix and runyons. I mix the two together.
You love the runyons.
I do love them. And I get both of those. I brought both of those things, all three of those things with me. I even brought the buttermilk with me. And I'm going to make some pan-fried baked chicken.
Yes, I support this.
What 100%. About you? What about you? What about you?
Let's see. I'm trying to think of what have I reached for lately. You know, we're kind of on the precipice of grilling season.
And is it one precipice?
Precipice?
Is it precipice?
The beginning of.
Okay. All right.
Precipitation is rain. So it's not that. We're on. It's
precipice.
The cusp.
The cusp.
The cusp of grilling season.
The edge.
And I'm on the edge.
Of glory.
So what I need to have on hand for me is they have great mustards.
Oh,
I am.
Yes.
Did you know about me? I am a condiment king.
Yes.
I'm a condiment king.
I love mustards. You love drinks. And you love condiments.
Condiments. Preach.
You like fizzy drinks like Fresca.
That's right.
And you like condiments.
So they have like some sweet and spicy mustards and some hot and spicy mustards.
So good.
I need to have those for my hamburgers and hot dogs. Because listen, I've lived in Ohio my whole life. I know that winter is not over.
It's not.
But listen, these 70-degree days, when they creep up on you, you better get ready to get you a dog and a burger.
Listen, we're getting ready for the first day of spring. It's pretty exciting.
I know. It's been great.
We are so thankful for Walnut Creek Cheese and Market and Walnut Creek Foods to being our official sponsor. We love them. Shout out. If I had my bell, I'd have my bill. There it is.
Yes. Hey, well, thank you so much for joining us in this conversation about modeling things for your kids that you hope that they take with them into adulthood. Whether ordinary or extraordinary, we hope you see that these
are good days. This episode brought to you by Walnut Creek Foods.